You are listening to RudolfSteinerAudio.com. As well, you can hear these podcasts at RudolfSteiner.podbean.com. Please consider becoming a patron. There are two publishing houses, SteinerBooks.org in America and RudolfSteinerPress.com in England, which are the sole publishers of Steiner into English and have given me permission to do these recordings. Please consider patronizing them as well. This is a reading of Collected Works, Volume 99 by Rudolf Steiner, entitled Rosicrucian Wisdom, 14 lectures translated by Joanna Collis. This is Lecture 10, given in Munich on the 3rd of June, 1907, entitled Planetary Evolution, Part 2. We spoke yesterday about the various incarnations of our planet, about the Saturn and Sun incarnations, and we will only briefly bring to mind that the human being on the Sun planet, the forerunner of our Earth, was developed to the degree of having a physical and an etheric body, and that he had therefore risen to a kind of plant existence. I also told you how different this plant existence was from what you know as the plant world in your environment today. We shall see that plants, as they surround us today, have only arisen on our planet Earth. We also described, to a certain extent, how these human forerunners on Sun, inasmuch as they had an ether body, brought to expression in the physical body chiefly those organs that we know nowadays as the glandular organs of growth, reproduction, and nutrition. All this was to be seen on Sun, just as on the Earth we now see rocks, stones, and plants. There was, in addition, a kingdom that we can call a retarded Saturn kingdom, which contained the elements of the later minerals. There is no question of minerals, as we know them today, being present on Sun, but there were bodies that had not acquired the power of receiving an ether body, and which had, therefore, in a certain respect, remained behind at the mineral stage, through which human beings had formerly passed on Saturn. We must therefore speak of two kingdoms having been formed on Sun. In theosophical writings, people have become accustomed to say that human beings have gone through the mineral, the plant, and the animal kingdoms. You have seen that this is an inexact way of talking, since the mineral kingdom on Saturn was quite differently formed. In its formations, the first seeds, the earliest indications of our sense organs, were prefigured. Nor was there a plant kingdom on Sun like the present one. But all that lives in human beings today as organs of growth was of a plant-like nature, that is, all glandular organs. They were plant-like because they were permeated by an ether body. We must now imagine that this Sun existence passed through a kind of sleep condition, a darkening, a dormant period. You must not think, however, that the passing of a planet through a state of sleep meant a sort of inactivity, a condition of nothingness. It is as little inactive as the Devakan condition of the human being. The human Devakanic state is not an inactive one. On the contrary, we have seen that human beings exist there in continuous activity and cooperate in the development of Earth in the most important way. Only for the modern consciousness of human beings, it is a kind of sleep state. To a different consciousness, however, it appears as a much more active, more real condition. All these transition periods denote a passing through celestial higher conditions in which important things are carried out for the planetary incarnations. The theosophical expression for them is pralaya. We will now imagine that Sun has passed through such a condition, and that from Sun there has developed the third stage of our Earth, called Moon in esotericism. If we had been able to observe this process, we should have been shown something like the following. We should have seen, in the course of millions of years, how the Sun existence changed and disappeared, and after further millions of years, how it lit up again after a twilight state. This is the beginning of the Moon cycle. When Sun first lit up again, there was no question of a division between the sun and the moon. They were still together, as in the sun period. Then came what one calls a recapitulation of the earlier conditions. What had taken place on Saturn and Sun was recapitulated at a certain higher stage. Then a remarkable alteration took place in the condition of this newly emerged Sun. Moon gathered itself into a mass apart from Sun. Two planets, or rather a fixed star and a planet, arose from the old Sun system. A larger and a smaller body were formed, the Sun and Moon. The Moon stage, I now mean, contained not only what the present Moon contains, but rather all the various substances and beings contained in the present Earth and Moon. If you were to stir all this together, you would have that Moon of which we are speaking and which at that time had separated itself off from the Sun. Sun became a fixed star by reason of drawing out the best substances together with the spiritual beings. As long as it was a planetary Sun existence, it still contained all of this within itself. But since it now gave up to an independent planet, everything that had hindered the beings in their higher development, it became a fixed star. So, now we have the cosmic scene before us of a more highly evolved body as fixed star, and moving round this in space a planet that is of lesser worth, Moon, containing within it what is today both the Moon and the Earth. This movement of Moon around Sun was quite different from the movement of our present Earth. If you examine the latter, you can distinguish two movements. First, the Earth travels round the Sun, and secondly, it revolves round its own axis. Through the latter movement, which takes place approximately 365 times in a year, day and night arise, as you know, and through the former, the four seasons. This, however, was not the case with Old Moon. That Moon was, you could say, a more polite body to its Sun than our Earth is, for it always moved round the Sun in such a way as to show it the same side. It never turned its back on it. While it passed once round the Sun, it turned only once round itself. Such a different kind of movement, however, had a great effect on the beings who were evolving on that planet. I will now describe to you the Moon planet itself. Here, I must add, first of all, that the human being was again a little more advanced than on Sun or Saturn. He had come so far as to consist not only of physical body and ether body, but there was now the astral body in addition. We therefore now have a human being formed of physical body, ether body, and astral body, but as yet no ego. The consequence was that Moon human beings progressed to the third state of consciousness we have described, picture consciousness, the last relic of which we have in the dream picture consciousness of today. By virtue of the incorporation of the astral body into the other bodies, changes took place in these, and especially in the physical body. We have seen that on Sun the glandular organs were the most highly developed part of the physical body, and that certain places were interpenetrated by currents, which later hardened to the present solar plexus. Through the work of the astral body upon the physical body on Moon arose the first beginnings of the nervous system. The nerves attached themselves in a way similar to what you still have today in the nerves of the spinal cord. Consider one thing. Human beings had as yet no independent ego. Only the three other bodies were there. The human ego was in the atmosphere surrounding Moon, just as, formerly, the ether body had been on Saturn and the astral body on Sun. And from there, this ego, embedded in its divine source, worked upon the physical body. If we remember that at that time the ego still worked as a companion of divine beings, that it had not yet emancipated itself, had not yet fallen out of this divine spiritual essentiality, then we see that the ego, in its path to earth, has undergone in a certain way a kind of deterioration, and in another way also an advance. An advance inasmuch as the ego has become independent. A deterioration, however, in that it has now become exposed to all doubt, errors, wickedness, and evil. The egos worked from the divine spiritual substance. An ego that today works down from the astral plane onto the physical plane is a group soul of the animals. The ego at that time worked into the three bodies from outside in the way these group souls today work into the animals. It could, however, create higher bodies than those of the present animal kingdom, since it worked from the divine substance. There were living creatures on Moon, which in appearance and in their whole nature were higher than the highest apes today, but not so high as present human beings. There was an intermediate kingdom between present human beings and the animal kingdom. Then there were two more kingdoms, both of which had become retarded. One of these had not been capable of taking up the astral body from the sun existence, and had therefore remained at the stage in which the glandular organs were on sun. The second kingdom of Moon lay between the present animals and the present plants. It was a kind of plant-animal. On Earth today, there is no directly similar creature. We can only recognize relics of it. There was also a third kingdom, which had preserved the Saturn incarnation even on Sun. It came between mineral and plant. Thus on Moon we have three kingdoms, plant-mineral, animal-plant, and human-animal. The minerals of today on which we walk about did not exist on Moon. What we call rocks, soil, humus, did not exist there. The lowest kingdom came between plant and mineral. The whole substance of Moon consisted of this kingdom. The surface of Moon somewhat resembled peat, in which plants are in the process of turning into a kind of pulpy mass. Moon beings went about on a vegetable mineral mass of pulp-like consistency. This was the case on Moon during certain periods of its development. One might also compare it with boiled lettuce. There were no rocks in the present sense, the nearest thing to them being certain formations occurring here and there which you can compare with the growths formed by the wood or bark of certain trees. Moon mountains consisted of such lignifications, such wood masses of lignified plant pulp. It was like a kind of aged plant that has withered. This was the earliest beginning of the mineral kingdom, and upon it flourished those plant animals. They could make no independent movements. They were fixed to the ground as corals are today. In our myths and legends, which contain deep wisdom given by initiates, a memory is preserved of this, above all in the legend of the death of Balder. The Germanic sun god, or god of light, once had a dream in which his approaching death was foretold. This made the gods, the Æsir, who loved him, very sad. They wondered how they might save him. The mother of the gods, Frigg, put all the beings of the earth on solemn oath that not one of them would ever kill Balder. They all swore, and so it seemed impossible that Balder should ever fall victim to death. Then one day the gods were at play, and during their game they threw every possible sort of thing at Balder without hurting him. They knew that he was invulnerable. Loki, however, the god of darkness and the opponent of the Æsir, mused on how to kill Balder. Then he heard from Frigg that she had made all beings swear not to kill him. Far away, however, there was a plant, the mistletoe, which was harmless, and she had administered no oath to it. This she disclosed to him. The crafty Loki took the mistletoe and brought it to the blind god Hodur, and he, not knowing what he did, killed Balder with it. So the evil dream was fulfilled through the mistletoe. It has always played a special role in popular custom. Something sinister, ghostly, was expressed through it. What was taught about the mistletoe in the old Trotton and Druid mysteries passed over to the populace as legend and custom. These are the facts on Moon. There was that mineral plant pulp, and upon it flourished the plant animals of Moon. There were some that evolved further and reached a higher stage on Earth. Others, however, had stayed behind at the Moon stage, and as Earth arose, could only assume a stunted form. They had to continue with the habits they had had on Moon. On the Earth, they could only live as spongers, parasites on a plant-like foundation. So the mistletoe lives on other trees, since it is a relic of the old plant animals of Moon. Balder was the expression of what evolves further, of what brings light to Earth. Loki, on the contrary, the representative of the dark powers, the backward powers, hates what has progressed and has gone on developing. Therefore, Loki is the opponent of Balder. None of the creatures of Earth could undertake anything against Balder, the god who gave light to Earth, for they were his equals. They had progressed with evolution. Only a being still at the Moon stage and feeling itself united with the ancient god of darkness was capable of killing the god of light. Mistletoe is also a remedy, as are many poisons. Thus do we find deep facts of cosmic wisdom in old folklore and customs. Let us now call to mind the beings on Saturn, who had the ego as the outermost body, and remember that on Sun there were such as had the astral body as their external covering. On Moon there were beings whose external covering was the ether body. They consisted of ether body, astral body, ego, spirit self, life spirit, and spirit man, and of one member more, the eighth, the Holy Spirit, of which we cannot yet speak in the case of human beings today. We could only have seen them as phantom-like beings in their ether body. They had at that time the same degree of evolution as human beings today. Christian esotericism calls them angels. They are beings who today are placed directly above the human being, since they have evolved to the stage of the Holy Spirit. They are also called spirits of twilight, or the lunar pitris. The spirits of egohood on Saturn had as their leader a being whom human beings call the Father God. The spirits of fire on Sun had as their leader the Christ, or in the sense of the John Gospel, the Logos. On Moon, the leader was the spirit known in Christianity as the Holy Spirit. Those beings who had passed through the human stage on Moon had no need to descend as far as the physical body here on the Earth. The planetary formations have become ever denser and denser. Old Saturn, in its densest state, had only a heat consistency. Sun, in its densest state, consisted of what we see today in gases, in air, although you must picture these substances as somewhat denser than our present heat substance and gases. In the Moon stage, the gaseous substances of Sun had so far densified that they produced that pulpy, thickish fluid, flowing mass of which all the beings, even the highest, the animal humans, consisted on Moon. You have more or less this substance if you imagine the white of a hen's egg somewhat thickened. Into this substance of the human being, the nervous system was incorporated. Moon was surrounded by a kind of atmosphere formed quite differently from that of the Earth. We understand its character if we think of a passage in Goethe's title Faust. It is where Mephistopheles wants to rise into the air with Faust on his cloak. He wants to make fire air, air in which watery substances are dissolved, mist-like. This air saturated with watery substances, it is also called fire air or fire mist, was breathed by the beings of Moon. They had no lungs. Even the highest beings breathed through something akin to gills, as present-day fishes do. This fire air, called ruach in the Hebrew tradition, can actually be made manifest in a particular way. Ruach has been lost to modern man, but the old alchemists were able to set up the necessary conditions for it and could bring elemental beings into their service by means of it. This fire mist was thus something fully understood in old alchemical times. And the further back we go, the more capable people were of producing it. The atmosphere our predecessors breathed on Moon was fire mist, like this. It has continued to evolve and has differentiated itself into our present air and into whatever has arisen on the earth under the influence of fire. The smoke-like, steam-like moon atmosphere, which had a certain temperature, was interpenetrated, sometimes more, sometimes less, by currents which hung down from the air rather like threads and sank into the human bodies and permeated them. The human body on Moon hung on a kind of strand, which extended into the atmosphere, as today the child in the womb hangs on the umbilical cord. It was like a cosmic umbilical cord, and out of the fire mist certain substances entered the bodies comparable to what human beings create today, their blood. The I, or ego, was outside the human being and sent through these cords into the bodies something similar to blood, and this substance streamed in and out of them. The beings never came in contact with the moon's surface. They hovered and circled around it as if they were flowing and floating. The moon, human animals, moved as today's aquatic animals move in water. It was the work of the angels, the spirits of twilight, to let these blood juices flow into human beings. Those very different conditions had another consequence. On Moon, a kind of blood system began. From the cosmos, a substance resembling blood streamed in and out, as now the air streams in and out of the body. And therefore there arose for Moon human beings a capacity which only appears with the blood. This was the first sounding of inner notes for expressing experiences of the soul. It is only when beings possess an astral body that sentience arises, and they could express this sentience in sounds, and indeed in a remarkable way. They were not clearly formed sounds. They could not have cried out with pain. There was no independence of giving vent to sound or crying out. But it occurred simultaneously with certain experiences. At definite seasons there took place on Moon what one could call a development of the reproductive impulses, and the inner experiences of the beings at those times could be expressed in sound. Otherwise they were silent. At a definite position of Moon to the Sun, in a certain season, Old Moon sounded forth into the cosmos. The beings upon it cried out their germinative power into the cosmos. We have relics of this preserved in the cries of some animals, the stag, for example. The cry was more the precipitation of general processes, not of individual experiences which are voluntarily expressed. A cosmic event was finding its expression. We must take all this as only an approximate description, for we are bound to words which are coined for things that have only come into existence in our earth period. We should first have to invent a language if we wanted to express what is seen by the eye, E-Y-E, of the seer. All the same, these descriptions are important, for they are the first approach to finding a way of expressing the truth. Only through pictures, through imagination, do we find the way to vision. We should make no abstract concepts, no mechanical schemes, nor draw up diagrams of vibrations, but let pictures arise within us. That is the direct path, the first stage of knowledge. For as surely as human beings were present at that time with their forces, so is it true that if they picture things to themselves, this will guide them to the conditions in which they then existed. After all, the beings on Moon had passed through their evolution and could ascend to higher stages. The time came when Moon and the Sun again united, reverted to being a single body, and so entered into Pralaya. After they had gone through this dormant stage together, a new existence shone out, the earliest proclamation of Earth as such. A short recapitulation of the first three incarnations now took place on a higher level. First Saturn existence, then Sun, and then Moon, once more split off and circled round the other body, but this Moon still had Earth within it. Then came a further, highly important change. All that is Earth threw out of itself the present Moon, which means the worst substances and beings, whatever is unserviceable, and these are contained in the present Moon. All that was flowing watery substance in old Moon is frozen on the present Moon. This can be proved by physical means. And what was capable of developing further remained behind as Earth. Higher development continues on Earth through the separation of old Sun into these three bodies, Sun, Moon, and Earth. This separation happened many thousands of years ago in the old Lemurian time. From those ancient moon beings, which have been described as plant mineral, plant animal, and animal human, have arisen the present mineral, the present plant, the present animal, and the human being, who has become able to receive into himself the ego, which formerly hovered around him and was united with the Godhead. The union of the I, or ego, with the human being took place after the separation of Sun, Moon, and Earth. And from this point of time onward, the human being has been capable of developing red blood within himself and of ascending to the level he has reached today. The end of Lecture 10.